This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
3 minutes after 9 o'clock here on your Saturday morning, time for Sports Saturday, brought to you today by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carthenville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steer and your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield. By Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of health care. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Garrell's Auto Body in Litchfield. And DC Waste and Recycling. We join WSMI's Terry Toad. Good morning, sir.
Thank you very much, Tim Mize, and good morning. Welcome to Sports Saturday on what's turned out to be a rather gloomy-looking day. Although I guess it could be worse if we had a lot of freezing rain.
Which is a possibility.
Which is a distinct possibility.
But we're not going to have a foot of snow.
No.
So that's
no.
Good.
That's Chicagoland.
So we got that working for us, which is nice.
Yes, that's true. That's true. And it should warm up there a little bit at the beginning of next week. And so all this stuff that we're expected to get tonight and I guess tomorrow should be melted a little bit by first of the week.
Winter weather advisory 6 tonight till 6 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning? Okay. So there's the time frame for you. So just be careful. That's the best advice we can give you. Just be careful.
Common sense.
Yeah. Well, we had one of the best weeks of the season, high school basketball season, regional tournament week for girls this past week. Boys are getting ready to get into their regional tournaments for Class 1A and 2A schools here beginning a week from Monday. Also, high school wrestling. We have a lot of participants at the sectional level. And we'll be going over that and had some ball games around the area last night. So a very busy week for us.
Big week. And let's start, Terry, with last night. You were in Nokomis,
yeah.
And they presented their check, and it was a big one.
Yeah, they had the check presentation from the Arrowhead Open, which was the golf tournament held last August. And, again, you know, the community got together and they raised over $24,000 this past August and through the year for fundraising, and a 4-year total from the Arrowhead Open of over $100,000. So congratulations to our friends with associated with the Arrowhead Open. Great group of folks that you know are members of the committee and of course everybody turns out and you know it's one of those things that we do as community, and we do it for the kids.
And it always gets put to good use.
And it gets put to good use. Keeps the athletic programs going. So, you know, weight equipment, uniforms, summer camps, even scholarships. So, congratulations to those who are associated with the Arrowhead Open. And Tim, I also got a very nice letter from the, a nice card from the 1993 Staunton Bulldogs, the state champions, the last Cinderella state champion team that we mention this every once in a while, and I thank them for their contribution, and I appreciate the card. Very, very kind of them.
And Terry, I mean, you've been involved with so many teams from around the area for going on 4 decades now, but I know that the 93 state champion mm-hmm. Bulldogs and then the 98-99 Lady Redskin champions from Nokomis. Those three teams in particular, they really do hold a special place in your heart.
Well, they really do. And of course, Staunton, we Staunton and Verdon were both good that year. And we kind of knew that with the path that we saw, there might be an opportunity for both teams to be at state. And of course, in the history of the 93 season, Verdon beats Staunton in the county championship, and then Staunton goes on to win the state championship after surviving that triple overtime super sectional game against Bridgeport Red Hill.
One of the greatest games ever.
Oh, it's the greatest broadcast we ever had on this radio station, I think. It's just outstanding.
For the record, it was not you.
Well, no, it was not me. No, it was Stan McCaslin. Stan that did it. And of course, Staunton got in there and of course defeated Hales Franciscan and everybody thought, well, there's no way they're going to beat Hales Franciscan, but that's why they play the ball game. So.
Well, the buzz around Champaign that day about the state semifinal game between Hales Franciscan and Carroll. This is the state championship game. That's what everyone said.
Everybody assumed that.
That's right.
But,
it was until it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why they make you play a championship game at 8 o'clock at night on Saturday night. So,
and as we, you know, they,
it's one of the great memories of being here working at WSMI and just the excitement around it and just, you know, a great bunch of guys. So,
and you know, we've talked of the true Cinderella story. Mm-hmm. It was so improbable. I mean, they were good. There's no question about that. But
we knew about them, but right. The rest of the state did not.
Exactly.
That was the thing. The rest of the state yes. did not
who
know
are
about
these guys.
Them. Yeah, who are these guys? Staunton, you know,
Stanton.
And yeah. A lot of them. A lot of time they probably got called Stanton from other members of the media. But you know, we knew that they were going to be pretty good, and we knew Verdon was going to be pretty good because Verdon had gone to the Super Sectional the year before and had everybody back pretty much. So we had some really good basketball back in the 90s, and the Bulldogs, I tell you, what a run. And it's still great to go to Staunton High School and see that championship trophy there in the case.
I stop and look at it every time.
You stand there for 5 and 10 minutes just looking and read, and you may have read the thing 100 times, but you stand there and you read it again. So,
and the, you know, the further we get removed from it, and now we're in a 4-class system, so that story will never happen.
No.
It'll never happen again. There's never going to be a town like Staunton beat a school like Hales Franciscan in the state championship game like that. But it has that Hoosiers type of feel, especially as more time passes here. You know, we're at 25 years now, and it just has that old-timey, classic Cinderella type of feel.
You know, 25th anniversary for Staunton, 20-year anniversary for Nokomis girls. You know, where did the time go? It just passed so fast, and wonderful, wonderful memories. And the unfortunate thing is, you know, the students in these schools now were not around.
No.
So they don't really understand the legacy and the excitement of the community. And it's not, and what's really great about this area here is the fact that when we have local teams that do extremely well in the postseason, it's not just that town or that school. It's basketball fans from all around the area attend and watch. So, you know, there were people from all over watching the Bulldogs.
They've released the seedings for this year's postseason, and we'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah.
But this is always the time of year, Terry, where I turn into an old man, get off my lawn type of situation where I just always think back to the quote-unquote good old days like old people always talk about. But something about – and you remember when it was just 1-class.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't around for that. I grew up on the 2-class system.
Yeah.
That to me is just the perfect way to do it. Small school, big school. But that's what makes that run so special. If they were one of 4 state champions that year, it would still be awesome. It'd still be a great accomplishment.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it wouldn't stand the test of time.
Well,
like it has.
Yeah. And you know, playing Hales Franciscan.
Right.
I mean, they were a team that was highly publicized, well known to the state of Illinois, great expectations, and they lost.
They got the second place trophy.
Of course, you know, they got. And I think they took it to the hotel and dropped it and broke it or something like that.
That does sound right.
Yeah, something.
And of course, a number of years later, their coach got his place vacated whenever he couldn't bite his tongue and said, oh, yeah, we had a good recruiting year.
Yes.
Oops.
Yes. And I was there when that quote was made, and along with several other people. I think Dave Kane, our buddy Dave Kane from the State Journal Register, was there, too. So
that's going to cause him some problems.
Oh, a good recruiting year, huh? Well, okay. How about that? Okay. Funny how that happens.
It is.
Yeah. But anyway, great season 1993, and thank you to the state champs from Staunton. I appreciate the consideration.
Yes.
Very kind of them. So, and they made a donation to the banquet. So.
That's right, which will be coming up on April 7th. Yeah. Tickets are available throughout Montgomery County. And then also we have them at the Macoupa County Farm Bureau in Carlinville as well. That's going to be a fun night. We'll have Steve Davis and his crew is going to perform. Jason Milanos is going to be catering. Tortellini's tea.
Oh, yeah.
Will be on the menu.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to have silent auction as well. Some pretty cool items will be available. In that I'm working on early stages of an all county sports pass for Montgomery County to where Hillsborough, Litchfield, Lincolnwood, Nokomis, it'll get you into every football, basketball, and volleyball game.
Oh, wow.
For two people for a calendar year. And the ADs seem to be on board, so.
Wow. Great. Great. Well, we have great cooperation with our.
Always have.
Our athletic directors, both in Montgomery, McCoup, and Bond counties, and we appreciate their efforts, and they're very, very good to us, so take care of us when we need to be taken care of, so. And, where did this basketball season go?
Flew by, man.
My gosh, it flew by, and we had some girls' regional games last night, and we'll get to those scores, talk a little bit about high school wrestling, and who knows what else will come up today. But we need a break first. We'll get back to Sports Saturday right after these messages.
Back on WSMI Sports Saturday, Fighting Illini basketball tomorrow. They will host Penn State live at 5 tomorrow on 105.3 The Ox. Back to Tito.
Okay, Tim Mize, thank you very much. Before we get to some sports stuff, I want to talk a little bit about some radio stuff here. You're going to be hearing some announcements here on WSMI FM 106. We also have announcements running on WAOX. We here at WSMI have a translator, which is 106.9, which duplicates our AM programming. These are small, low-power FM stations. Unfortunately, there's a station right now operating in the St. Louis area on 105.3, which is our frequency for WAOX, and it is disrupting our WAOX signal. And there's a threat to having a station, a translator station, put on in the St. Louis area at 106.1, which is our frequency we're on right now, which would be disruptive to our broadcast coverage area. So we're asking your help. If you've tuned in, we would like for you to help us fight this. And this is how we fight it. We go through the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, and we file complaints. And if you are one of those people who are wanting to help us, we would appreciate your help. Just contact the radio station. And for WSMI FM, tell them you don't want our signal disrupted, especially in the, in the St. Louis area. And for people tuned into the Ox, and they're obviously not listening right now, but if you do listen to the Ox from time to time, our signal is being disrupted as we speak. So please contact the radio station, listen to those announcements, and help us protect our signal, because we cover a large area. It's 50,000 watts, and we want the full effect of that 50,000 watt blowtorch signal.
So, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're encroaching upon us, and quite frankly, I don't like it.
We will not stand for it.
We will not stand for it. We're going to fight it. This is the legal way, the proper way to do it. And just be listening for special announcements. If you have any questions, if you are wanting to back us, we would be glad to take your name and information. And, we need several people, a dozen people minimum, to help fight this off. So we need some help. We ask for your help. So
yes, because it will happen.
It will happen. And we're very glad to have our translator at 106.9, which helps us with our AM programming, Cardinal baseball, mm-hmm. and such. And it's not that we don't mind the fact that the business is like that, but with the frequencies that are involved, they're disrupting our broadcast coverage area, and that's not good.
And so do whatever you want, as long as it don't affect me.
As long as it doesn't affect me, and it's affecting me.
Exactly right.
So it's something that's kind of gotten under my saddle right now, and it's kind of a burr under my saddle. So
burr under the saddle.
Burr under
good.
The saddle. That's not good. That's not good. So anyway, if you can help us out, we would appreciate it. I'll just get off my soapbox now. So.
Well, because, we had a regional game
this week
on the Ox, of course. We had all sorts of regional basketball this week on WSMI.
We've got the Illini on the Ox, and of course, great music, too. So, a lot of things get affected, and in some areas, our signal's obliterated. And even though it's a low-power FM station, it shouldn't be doing that.
No.
And we can fight it, and we want to fight it. So
help us out.
Yes, help us out. We're going to be the rebels here.
With a cause.
With a decent cause. So.
I think it's a pretty good cause.
We've worked, and we're just a couple years away from the 70th anniversary of WSMI AM 1540 going on the air. So we've got a long history of serving Mid-Illinois, and we want to protect that legacy and protect our signal. So I don't know. I kind of take it personal.
You should.
Yeah.
Wheels are in motion.
May have to call out my Italian cousins,
They're always so busy.
They're busy all the time. Busy all the time. So let's check some girls' high school regional tournament finals from around the area last night. The Litchfield girls 2A regional wrapped up last night, and top-seeded Auburn defeated Carlindale 47-32. Auburn jumped out to a pretty healthy lead early on. Kat Clark had 26 points for Auburn. Rachel Alroy led the Cavalier attack with 16 points. Cavaliers finished the season with 19 wins, a good season for Carlindale. At Buffalo Tri-City last night, the host Tri-City Tornadoes defeated Barry Western 41-26. So Auburn will take on Tri-City, and that'll be at the Riverton Sectional. That'll be a Tuesday game at 6 o'clock. In 1A regional finals on Friday at Dietrich, Oblong beat St. Elmo Brownstown 42-36. So Oblong will take on Hume Shiloh Tri-County at the North Clay Sectional at Louisville, at North Clay High School at Louisville. That'll be a Monday 7:30 game. And at Metro East Lutheran last night, Lebanon beat Metro East Lutheran 55-42. So Lebanon will move on to take on Carrollton. That'll be at the North Green Sectional Monday at 7 o'clock. So our local teams went down. Just a tough week for our local teams.
Well, it was. I'll tell you what, over at the Alton Marquette Regional, we had some great basketball played there. And unfortunately for the Staunton Lady Bulldogs, I think they needed about one more week of the regular season, because Savannah Brune looked like she was getting really close to being 100% healthy in that regional tournament. And they pushed Marquette Catholic to the limit in that semifinal game. Just couldn't get it done down the stretch. But the Bulldogs just had that look of they just needed a little more time.
Yeah. And at Nokomis on Thursday night, Nokomis played Tri-County out of Hume Shiloh. It's three schools that go together in co-op, so they call themselves Tri-County. But Tri-County reminded me of some of the Central A&M teams that were just, you know, swarming on defense very quick. That could have been a 30-point blowout. Nokomis ended up losing by 10 points, but Tri-County is a very good basketball team. And they just, and they're young, and as soon as the ball comes in, there's two people on you, and as soon as you pass it, there's two more people on you, and it's almost like they had eight players on the floor. They were just that good defensively.
To be fair, there was two games this regional week that really stood out. At Marquette, Southwestern beating Hillsborough in overtime 60-55. It's a game that Southwestern dominated and controlled through three quarters. Hillsborough was down 40-22 early in the fourth quarter. They storm all the way back. I think they scored 27 points in the fourth quarter, forced overtime, but then Southwestern got it done from the foul line primarily in the extra session to spring the upset against the Toppers. And then the other game, two overtimes at the Litchfield Regional between Carthenville and Gillespie. Cavies won it by a point in that semifinal game. But those are two epic overtime games in postseason play
You know, and when it's, you know, survive in advance, you pull out all the stops. And you know, with the Southwestern Hillsborough game, as we say from time to time, until you actually rip it out of the hands of Southwestern, they're not going to give up anything. They just find ways to win.
And they were right there in that final against Marquette Catholic, too. They had a lead in the fourth quarter by a point, but just down the stretch, a couple of bad offensive possessions, couple of turnovers in a row, just they couldn't overcome that. But Marquette Catholic, I was not overly impressed with them in either one. They won them both.
Yeah.
So they get credit for that. Yeah. They're regional champs, but they're going to have to play a lot better in the sectional next week at Riverton if they want to keep going.
And Tri-County will move on to the North Clay Sectional. They'll play the winner from, I believe, the Dietrich Regional. I think it's going to be Oblong, so that's a Monday night game. So they have a pretty good shot at being successful in that sectional, the way they play. They're up and down the floor.
That type of style really is effective in postseason play.
Basically, it's five guards, you know, and away they go. So
reminds me of what was it, the Q&D team from several years ago, where they were just pressing off everything.
Yeah.
Every missed free throw, every missed shot, pressing and trapping.
And they were a 2A team then, but they were probably the best girls team in the state.
Yeah.
Back when we saw them at the Beardstown Sectional. So, yeah, they were pretty impressive. So we had some boys basketball around the area last night. In a game heard on WSMI FM 106, a Montgomery County matchup, Nokomis defeated Hillsborough 60-42. Hendricks Barnes had a good night for Nokomis, had 18 points. Peyton Tester also had 18 points for the Hilltoppers, but Nokomis wins it 60-42. It's kind of the deer in the headlights syndrome for the Toppers right off the bat. You know, they got down early and never, Nokomis never looked back.
Hey, not the first team at Nokomis to have that effect.
It's just the way it is. Also last night, Carlinville beat Litchfield 56-46. Will Walton had 18 points. Jared Easterday 14 for Carlinville. Sam Painter chipped in with 16 points for the Purple Panthers, who won earlier this week at Lincolnwood by 2 points, 50-48. That was a good ball game.
And Litchfield has to be one of the great surprises of this boys' basketball season for the WSMI listener. I mean, coming into the year, I don't think a lot of people expected much from them in terms of wins and losses, but they blew past their win total from last year weeks ago, and they have gotten better. Even since Christmas time, they have gotten better.
And, you know, I think a lot of it is a testament to Coach Logan, and Drew has done a great job of taking the talent that's there and molding it and, you know, having some success. And I think it's one of its best coaching jobs ever. It really, really is. So, Litchfield falling though to Carlinville last night. In other games around the area, Calvary Academy beat Lincolnwood 63-45. It was Moreau Forsyth 64, North Mac 60. Petersburg Porta beat Auburn 51-42. The Greenville Comets, the champions of the South Central Conference, lost to Breeze Central 47-28. Triopia beat Greenfield Northwestern 52-42. East Alton Wood River 53, Bunker Hill 45. South Central beat Mulberry Grove 45-44. By the way, Mulberry Grove won the Egyptian Illini Conference Championship for the first time ever in the school's history. So congratulations to the Aces of Mulberry Grove.
They got a good club this year.
They do. They do have a good team, and they have a pretty high seed in the regional.
Yes, they do.
Athens beat Pleasant Plains 52-37. It was Williamsville over Pawnee 64-27. New Berlin down Sangamon Valley 56-32. Edinburgh beat Tri-City, 61-56. Windsor-Stoustross beat Cowden-Herrick-Beecher City, 48-41. Route over Brown County, 42-40. SHG beat Jacksonville, 56-47. Few other boys' scores. Alton-Marquette beat Roxana, 79-25. Jerseyville, 51. Triad, 47. Columbia beat Carlisle, 58-38. Westland knocked off Freeburg, 65-49. Modern Day beat North Clay Tech out of Missouri, 64-37. Shelbyville, 64. Decatur St. Teresa, 63. Arthur Levington beat Arcola, 61-53. Meridian over Clinton, 71-58. Also last night, Lincoln beat Effingham, 45-36, as Neil Alexander picked up career win number 800.
That is a lot of victories.
That's a lot of wins. A lot of wins.
And he ain't done yet.
Oh, no. He is far from being done. So,
You mentioned Alton Marquette. Yeah. They won last night and improved, I think, 26-0 now. Talking to Greg Shashak last week at the Marquette Catholic Regional, we were talking about the Marquette boys, you know, having a great year. But they haven't, they've played a 2A schedule this year, and they're going to be 3A. In the 3A postseason this year because they won the sectional championship last year. Had they not won the sectional last year, they would have been 2A. So they found out about this bump later, so they didn't get their schedule adjusted. So they actually, their season will end when the 1A and 2A season ends. So they will have that week and a half off before the 3A playoffs begin. That could be a problem. And the competition they're going to face in the 3A postseason is going to be drastically different than what they face in the regular year.
Litchfield girls faced that situation the last couple years before they moved back to 2A this year when they were 3A when they were doing the co-op with Lincolnwood and had Abby Brockmeyer. So the Purple Panthers had a week plus off because their 2A schedule ended and they ended up playing in the 3A regional tournament.
But they weren't going in undefeated.
No, they weren't going in undefeated.
That's true. To me is the really interesting aspect of this whole thing is there's a very good chance that Marquette Catholic is going to be undefeated, and then we'll see what happens to them.
And out
in the, 3A
in the regional. More,
I mean, who knows?
A distinct possibility.
I mean, they're good. They are supremely talented. But we've seen it over the years, Terry, no matter the school, no matter what class you play, the regular season schedule and how are you tested?
Yeah.
I mean, they've been waxing people this year because they're just that much better than everybody on their schedule. But when they get into a postseason situation, last 3 minutes of the fourth quarter in a tight ball game, it's going to be a spot they haven't been in all season long.
And I have no scientific proof, but when you're undefeated, it seems to me that there are times you end up playing not to lose instead of playing to win. And it's a very fine line between the two, but you become less aggressive. your confidence wanes a bit late in the ball game, as opposed to playing to win instead of playing not to lose.
So. Absolutely, and you wind up, instead of just focusing on the task at hand, you kind of have the whole season.
Like, oh, we're about to lose this thing.
We haven't lost all year. The perfect season's gone, could be gone.
Yeah.
And it's an unnecessary distraction, for lack of a better word, in a lot of ways. And coaches want to win every game they play, so they'll never say, I want a loss. But if you hooked most coaches up to a polygraph and you said, would you like to go into the playoffs undefeated or have one loss somewhere mixed in, they would probably prefer to have the one loss.
How many times do we hear coaches say we learn more from a loss than we do from a win? And it's very true. And you go through the history of Illinois high school basketball, both boys and girls, very few teams ever finish the season undefeated. A few have.
We got the Taylorville team in the 40s. They went undefeated.
Well, Lawrenceville and the boys, they went back-to-back years, 34-0, I think. It does happen once in a while. But just doesn't happen every year. You would think, there are plenty of undefeated teams that go into the postseason every year. And most of the time,
get to the state tournament.
Yeah.
But not necessarily win it.
Not necessarily win it, because it's a whole different ball game.
I remember we were up several years ago when Nokomis went up to state that first year when they played for the 1A title. Yeah. I think Nashville was up there in the 2A when they had Lucas O'Rear.
Yeah.
They were undefeated
and
lost in the semifinals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lucas Herrera, that's a great name to remember. Yeah, he was a good ball player.
Oh, boy, he was. Went to Northern Iowa.
Yeah, yeah, good ball player.
Of course, none of those great Manuel teams went undefeated. Not a one of them.
No. You know, and again, you learn from the loss. You learn your weaknesses. And it's tough to be perfect through an entire season when you play 35 ball games. You know, some night, you're just not going to be very good. It's just human.
That's how it works.
Yeah, and to assume that you can go through a season undefeated is kind of foolhardy to me, you know. Hey, there's going to be we all have bad days, including shooters and players that play defense, and, you know, it just happens.
It does.
Yeah. So, coming up today, we've got some basketball around the area. The Riverton Shootout will get underway at 11:30 this morning. This is an annual event, and normally we have some of the worst weather ever on days on the Riverton Shootout occurs.
It's trying.
Yeah, it's trying. But maybe this weekend they'll get things played. Lanark Eastland will take on Dwight at 11:30. Kewanee Weathersfield against Reed Custer out of Braidwood at 1. Warrensburg Latham takes on Metro East Lutheran at 2:30. That could be a pretty good matchup. At 4 o'clock, Pleasant Plains against Cisna Park, and Cisna Park is in the top 10 in the AP 1A poll.
That'd be a good one, too, then.
Yeah. Peoria Quest will take on the host of Riverton Hawks. And then in the finale, it's Williamsville taking on Bloomington Central Catholic, and Catholic is ranked number 8 in the 2A poll this year. Between them, 19 wins for Williamsville, 18 wins for Bloomington Central Catholic.
I think Williamsville was honorable mention.
They're getting some votes in the balloting. Also tonight, Auburn will be at Hillsboro, West Central at North Green, and Pena is at Newton.
There was a JV game at the start of that Riverton Shootout and put it on the schedule. At 10 o'clock, it was Riverton and Bloomington Central Catholic JV to officially start the shootout.
Okay, that's good. That's basketball. Let's talk about wrestling, high school wrestling. We had a lot of wrestlers, of course, competing at the sectional level. And the good news is, we didn't lose anybody in the opening round. Everybody is either advanced to the semifinals or a part of a wrestle back. At the Vandalia sectional from Litchfield, Bailey Powell at 106 pounds. He lost in the first round and is in a wrestle back. Carter Powell at 113 pounds won his first round match, lost in the second round. He's in a wrestle back. Will Carlisle at 120 pounds won twice. He's now in the semifinals. Cam Lee at 126 won twice. He's in the semifinals. Colin Davidson at 138 won twice. He's in the semifinals today. Tyler Thiessen won his first match, lost the second, and is in a wrestle back. Kyle Twitty at 160 pounds won twice, and is in the semifinals. Blake Euling at 170 pounds in the semis after winning twice yesterday. Dylan Maxwell at 195 lost in the first match, but he is in the wrestle back. Jefferson Thomas lost in the first round, and he is in a wrestle back as well at 285. From Hillsboro, Jake Heffley at 138 won his first match, lost the second match. He's in a wrestle back. From Carlinville, Nate Burns at 132 pounds won the first match, lost the second. He's in a wrestle back. Chad Michaels won first, lost second in a wrestle back, and Tristan Burns at 170, same situation, in a wrestle back after winning the first match and losing his second. And Mont Olive competing in the 2A sectional.
And doing just fine.
Oh, yeah, because Max Fritz at 152 pounds, this was at the Lincoln's 2A sectional yesterday, Max won twice, he's in the semis. Johnny Dara at 160 pounds won twice, he's in the semifinals. And John Alljets at 285 won the first, lost the second. He's in a wrestle back. So
Johnny Dara has had a really good senior year for Mount Olive slash South Mac. Of course, he was the stud tailback for the Chargers during their playoff run in their first year of existence. And now, obviously, getting it done on the mat in the winter.
Yeah. So, and there was some concern with that Mount Olive, you know, being the co-op, moving up to Class 2A, figuring they're going to face some heavy competition, which they have, but there they are.
Hey, their wrestling program has always been, I guess, bigger than their enrollment, so to speak.
Yeah.
So they've always had talented wrestlers at Mount Olive.
Ron Ryan has done a great job and been there for a long time. Very, very consistent program. And they have one of the better tournaments each year, too.
Yes, they do.
So, yeah. So good luck to all of our high school wrestlers that are competing at the sectional. And the winners, of course, from the sectionals will move on to the state tournament next weekend, so the individual state tournament. Then they'll have the dual team sectionals a little bit later on.
Which, you know, Litchfield is looking very much forward to that. I think they lost just one, maybe two dual matches all year.
So good luck to, the Purple Panthers have a ton of people wrestling today.
Strong team for Litchfield
good,
this year.
Very good team, very good team. So, also, on the postseason tournament play, let's talk about boys basketball. The regional tournament pairings were announced yesterday, and we have three regionals in 1A in the area at Mont Olive, at Lincolnwood, and at Nokomis, all hosting regionals.
You were in Nokomis last night, of course. We know Nokomis has the top seed in that subsectional complex. They've got the regional on their home floor, and they will be one tough out on their home floor in the regional.
Nokomis got the number one seed, the true number one seed. Neoga is the number two seed. They're number four overall, but number two at the Nokomis regional. And play opens up on Monday night, the 19th at Nokomis, with Edinburgh taking on Ramsey, and then Neoga taking on Sangamon Valley on Tuesday night, followed by Tri-City against Beecher City on Tuesday night. Nokomis will see their first action on Wednesday evening. They will get the winner of Edinburgh Ramsey.
Talk about drawing the short straw.
Oh, yeah. And then the winner of the Neoga Sangamon Valley game will take on the winner of the Tri-City Beecher City game in the second semifinal championship, set for 7 o'clock on Friday night. Nokomis is the team to beat, definitely, in that region.
No doubt about it. And this thought just popped into my head, but in some ways, they're like the opposite of Marquette. Like, you know, Marquette is unbeaten, but hasn't really played a 3A school. Nokomis hasn't, I don't think, lost to a 1A school all year. Most of their losses, you know, Granite City, Taylorville, these big old schools.
Yeah. And they're 19-7.
There you go.
So.
And we've talked for years. When Nokomis has a record like that, they're better than that 19-7. Okay. If they were playing, and I don't mean this to disparage any other school necessarily, but Nokomis, I mean, look at the schools they play early in the, they get to Christmas time and they haven't played a 1A school.
Yeah.
So when they have a good record, overall record, that tells you that they are great.
And they're good road warriors too.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Yeah, because they're never home. It seems
they'll play a home game in January.
In January, yeah. Maybe one. That's about it. So also, Lincolnwood High School hosting a regional this year, as it'll be Winchester and North Greene, the top two seeds at that regional. On Monday night, the 19th, Carrollton takes on Greenfield Northwestern at 6. Then Lincolnwood gets Pawnee at 7:30. Then on Tuesday night, they'll have the first semifinal with Winchester taking on the winner of the Carrollton-Greenfield Northwestern game. North Greene gets the winner of the Lincolnwood-Pawnee game on Wednesday, championship game on Friday.
And for what it's worth, just back to Nokomis and Marquette for a second, they played earlier in the year.
Yeah.
Marquette won, it was close, but Steve Kimbrough has said he's not happy with the way that game ended. They had the ball late with a chance and didn't get it done. So that tells you something else about Nokomis. Marquette has been waxing people all year. They didn't wax Nokomis.
No. Nobody's going to wax Nokomis.
Nobody's going to wax Nokomis.
Mont Olive has a regional as well. And the Wildcats will get the tournament underway on Monday night with one game, with Calhoun taking on McGivney. Then Tuesday night, Metro East Lutheran takes on Bunker Hill at 6. Mount Olive will take on Brussels at 7:30. Madison is the top seed at Mount Olive. They'll get the winner of game number 1, which is Calhoun and McGivney. And the second semifinals at 7:30 on Wednesday night, championship on Friday. Also in 1A play, Mulberry Grove will be competing at Windsor, at the Windsor Regional, and they will see action on Tuesday night against Chrisman at 6 o'clock. So good luck to the Aces of Mulberry Grove. And by the way, the Mount Olive Regional and the Lincolnwood Regional feed into the North Green Sectional. North Green has a sectional again.
That's weird.
How about that?
Strange.
And the winner from Nokomis and Windsor Regionals will feed into, I think it's a Central A&M, yeah, sectional, so at Moequa. So that's what the 1A schools look like.
Week from Monday, that gets underway.
Week from Monday. March Madness starts in February and rolls along. Also in Class 2A, a regional tournament play, a lot of our local teams are at the Staunton Regional. Monday night on the 19th, there'll be two games, Staunton against Litchfield, Hillsborough against Gillespie. Nashville and Greenville are the top two seeds at the Staunton Regional. Nashville gets the winner of Staunton-Litchfield on Tuesday night. Then on Wednesday night, Greenville gets the winner of Hillsborough-Gillespie. Championship set for Friday. East on Wood River Regional, Westland is the overall number one seed, the true number one seed. Southwestern is the fourth seed, but they're the number two seed at that regional. On Monday night, the 19th, East Alton Wood River takes on Roxana. Westland gets the winner of that game. And then Southwestern takes on Carlisle in the second game on that Tuesday evening. And the championship is set for Friday. Also, I think we've got one more 3A regional here. Let me turn the page.
2A regional.
Or 2A regional, not 3A, 2A regional. At Auburn, our friends at Auburn hosting a regional, where Williamsville gets the number one seed. Pleasant Plains is the number four seed. Those are the top two seeds at Auburn. On Monday night, North Mac takes on Riverton, and that'll be followed by Auburn against Carlinville. Williamsville gets the winner of North Mac Riverton, and Pleasant Plains gets the winner of Auburn Carlinville.
That's a good regional.
That's a very good regional at Auburn again. So, once you get those Sangamo County, the Sangamo Conference teams in there.
You know Williamsville's powerful this year. Yeah. Plains is always Plains. Auburn is very tough this year. And hey, never count out North Mac. They've played those schools already, so there'll be no surprises if the Panthers run into one of those teams.
And North Mac doesn't have the best record this year in the conference, but they've played the teams, and it's time for adjustments.
Just tough and hard-nosed.
Yeah. And we'll have coverage beginning on the 19th, and we'll have all sorts of basketball for you. During regional tournament week on WSMI, we'll have all the games on WSMI FM 106.1. We need to get to a break. Sports Saturday rolls on in just a moment.
Back on Sports Saturday with Tito.
Thank you very much, Tim Mize. And we've already got a phone call from a good listener, and he wants to help us out in our battle here. In case you didn't hear us earlier, WSMI FM 106.1, our frequency we're broadcasting on right now and have broadcast on since 1960, for God's sakes, 50,000 watts. There's a station in St. Louis, an AM station, that's getting an FM translator, which is what we have on 106.9. It's a lower power FM station. But the frequency is 106.1, which is going to intrude on our broadcast signal in the Metro East and the St. Louis City area. And we would like your help. So if you can give us a call and help us file a complaint with the FCC, which is the proper way of going about this, we would appreciate it. We also have a problem right now with our WAOX signal. There's another station in St. Louis that has a translator, a small station on 105.3, which is the aux frequency, and it's intruding upon our aux signal. We've had some complaints from some of our faithful listeners, and even though we're not on the aux right now, if you do know somebody on the aux or from time to time listen to the aux and you're having your signal messed with, give us a call. We'd like to put you on the list. We need several people to file complaints so we can send that into the FCC. We're trying to protect our coverage area. That's what we're trying to do.
That's right. We're on it, though.
We're on it, yeah. We're on it. And we're doing it the right way. We're doing it the correct way, the legal way to do it. And the FCC is open for comments, and we'd like for you to comment. So do help us out. Help us help you. If you don't want to lose the signal, give us a call. Email us at WSMI and WSMIRadio.com. Tell us about your trouble picking up the station, or WAOX.com. So, okay.
We'll have Fighting Illini basketball on the Ox tomorrow. They will be hosting Penn State live at 5 on the Ox.
You know, the Illini are an interesting team because they haven't been blown out a whole lot this year. They seem to be getting a little bit better. I don't think they're a team that you're going to definitely can realistically say have a chance of winning the Big Ten Conference, which, by the way, is a week early this year. I think it's the last week of February. But I think it's a team that most schools, most members of the Big Ten probably wouldn't want to see in tournament play. So the Illini have improved dramatically. I think they're still a couple years away from being a ranked team in the nation. But, again, I don't think any team would like to see them in the Big Ten Conference tournament.
Most likely not. Yeah. Trent Frazier has exploded here during his freshman year. He just had the third biggest scoring output for an Illini freshman ever. Deion Thomas, Kewan Garris, then Trent Frazier.
How about that?
Those names work.
There's a threesome for you. You put those guys on a team, and that's a pretty darn good team. So the Illini, we've got the Illini coming up against Penn State tomorrow on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. By the way, our boys' regional basketball tournament coverage will begin on Monday night. We'll have a triple header for you. And again, this is a week from Monday, a week from this coming Monday on the 19th. We'll have the two games from Staunton, with Staunton-Litchfield at 6, Hillsboro-Gillespie at 7:30. Then we'll follow that up with the Lincolnwood-Pawnee game from the Lincolnwood Regional. Then on Tuesday night, we'll have the two-way matchup from Staunton, as Nashville will take on the winner of the Staunton or Litchfield game at 7 o'clock. We'll also have the Illini on the Ox, as Illinois plays at Michigan State on the 20th of February. So you can find our broadcast schedule on our website, WSMIRadio.com. And, of course, all of our high school sporting events we stream online at WAOX and WSMI.com. And our friends at Network One Sports send it worldwide.
Worldwide. I don't know what you're talking about, Terry. I was just taking phone calls to get our list going here.
Just keep those phone calls coming in, folks.
That's right.
We appreciate it. We have a lot of listeners in a lot of places, and we don't want to be messed with.
We are not to be messed with.
We are not to be messed with. We'd like to be that 50,000-watt blowtorch that can reach out 60-plus miles. So, and we don't want anybody playing with our... in our playground. But it is. We don't play well with others.
We don't. We'll take our ball and go home.
That's right. When they come into our sandbox, hey, it's got to be our way or the highway.
Exactly right.
So, anyway. So, and coming up 2 weeks from today, we'll have our first Cardinals broadcast at the spring training.
Wow. I saw something neat with Major League Baseball the other day. Came across the wire. And I'm surprised they hadn't had this before.
Mm-hmm.
The Players Union is going to open up, I think it was like the IMG Baseball Academy or something, and any player who is a free agent who has not signed can go there and work out.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant idea.
Sure.
I guess they had it pre-strike in 94, 95, and then they didn't bring it back after the fact, but it makes total sense because I was reading an article the other day, I think in the Post-Dispatch, about how some of the Cardinals were there for early work. And Lance Lynn was there, but he was on the other side of the fence watching his former teammates work out.
And why Lance Lynn hasn't been re-signed,
I don't understand.
I don't understand. The man is, 2 years removed from Tommy John surgery. He pitches a lot of innings. He throws strikes. He's a workhorse. He's not really asking for that much money, comparatively speaking.
Not in baseball terms.
Not in baseball terms. And I just think the Cardinals are missing out on an opportunity to bolster their starting rotation.
I would agree with you. The fact that they never showed interest in him leads me to believe they know something.
Mm-hmm.
Something has them concerned.
Yeah.
And they're not saying.
So. And,
because they're a pitcher short.
They're a pitcher short. And when you look at Major League Baseball, there's a ton of free agents that haven't signed yet. Now, some of them have some deals that are pending, and that could change very quickly once spring training gets underway. But you're still having a lot of free agents out there represented by Scott Boras, the super agent, which is who can be a kind of a pain in the rear end for ball clubs. And, he's claiming this collusion thing with baseball owners, and that's not going to fly.
No.
It's not going to fly because I think the market's taking care of itself here. And some of these players are wanting, 5 to 7 year contracts, and you just can't do that.
What's the last big free agent contract that didn't blow up in the team's face?
I don't know.
The Holiday contract for the Cardinals was very good.
Yeah.
Was very good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you look at Albert in L.A. or Anaheim or whatever, Orange County, wherever he's at.
Yeah.
That's no good.
No.
They signed Josh Hamilton. That was no good.
Oh, yeah.
You think about some of the big deals that have come recently. They've been no good. So maybe owners have finally just wised up and thought, you know what? Maybe giving a 31-year-old guy exiting his prime 7 years and $200 million isn't a good idea.
No.
Look at this J.D. Martinez.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy was the top free agent on the market. All sorts of teams interested in him. And he wants too much money, evidently.
Well, sure. Sure. And the players are looking from the standpoint that, in the last couple of years, Major League Baseball teams have thrown an awful lot of money at free agents because of the TV deal that they got. But now the owners are rethinking things and saying, we need to be fiscally responsible. They're taking more of an approach like the Cubs, and Cardinals, building from the ground up, not really getting into the free agent market.
So. Bottom line, though, to me, it's actually fairly simple. Forget collusion. That's just silly and lazy.
Yeah.
The reason the market is slow this year is because of two names that will be available
next year.
Bryce Harper,
yeah.
Manny Machado will both be free agents next year.
Now, they will be very, very rich.
Yes. As quickly as they want to sign. As soon as they want to sign, they can sign.
Yeah.
But if you've got money to spend, why would you want to spend it on J.D. Martinez or Eric Hosmer this year when maybe you could go get Bryce Harper or Manny Machado next year?
And Eric Hosmer, good ball player.
Nice ball player.
He's been very good with Kansas City, but he wants a 7-year deal.
That's crazy.
And, man, in Major League sports, professional sports, That's an eternity. So I just don't see it.
And the rumors and the speculations are that Bryce Harper and the Cubs is a real possibility because Bryce Harper and Chris Bryant grew up childhood friends out in Vegas.
Well, I would be shocked if he doesn't end up in a Cubs uniform.
Especially since the Yankees acquired Stanton.
But I'm telling you right now, Giancarlo Stanton, he'll have a great first half, and then he'll be hurt in the second half.
Last year's the first year he hasn't gotten hurt second half.
He'll get hurt.
He most likely will.
Yeah.
Most likely will.
He's played one season of Major League Baseball, and that was last year without being injured, so.
It's true.
Yeah,
He's never been in a pennant race.
Nope. Never been in a pennant race, and it's a whole different world once you get to the postseason, so.
But Bryce Harper, that dude, he's going to get $400 million, $500 million. Who knows
what
he's going to get?
But the guy will deserve it.
I love Bryce Harper. Some people don't like Bryce Harper. The flash. I love Bryce Harper's attitude. I love everything that Bryce Harper does on the baseball field. He has fun.
Yeah.
When he plays, that's what I enjoy.
Mike Trout is another guy.
Yes. They're opposite in terms of personality.
Sure.
Bryce Harper's the type of guy. He knows he's good. And he can tell you he's good.
Yeah.
Mike Trout knows he's good, but he's not really going to tell you that he's good. He'll let everybody else tell you how good he is. But it doesn't mean one is better than the other. And it's perfect for baseball to have him on one.
Sure.
Left coast, East coast.
Yeah.
Different types of personalities, but both supremely talented.
And I think those are the two best players in baseball right now.
I think so. If Manny Machado plays shortstop, I think he is on that short list of best players in baseball.
You could consider him up there,
but
too.
But this is his first year moving to shortstop. But when you've got a talent like that playing that position, you suddenly become one of the best players, if not the best player in baseball, just because of the position you play.
And by the way, the Cardinals are going to get help from Jose Oquendo this year, and Ozzie Smith, and Willie McGee, who are back in training camp. And if nothing else, they should be much better defensively and probably running the bases.
Those two things will certainly be better. Like we said, they're a pitcher short, they're a bat short, they're a reliever short. But the base running will be better and the defense will be better. And if you improve those two things, that's going to help you exponentially.
Sure. But they still need another bopper in the lineup.
Yeah, they
do. Because it's a game of home runs now. The era of Whitey Ball is long gone, and it's about hitting home runs, getting guys on and hitting home runs. And
the Cardinals are banking on and expecting Paul DeJong to replicate his rookie year. History says that won't happen.
No.
Jed Jerko is going to be their everyday starting third baseman. He's been good for the Cardinals, but is he really an everyday middle of the order bat? I don't think so.
I think last year proved it wasn't. He wasn't.
I think you're right. Yeah. Now, the outfield has the potential to be the best outfield in all the National League with Ozuna, Pham, and Fowler. But again, Cardinals banking on Pham to replicate. You talk about Giancarlo Stanton and his injury history. What about Tommy Pham? I love Tommy Pham.
Yeah.
But, you know, last year's the first year the man's been healthy.
Sure.
And he's always one of those guys, bad luck injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, he tore his quad 1 year in spring training. Like, that is just terrible.
Yeah.
Then 2 years ago or 3 years ago, he makes the opening day roster and hurts himself in warm-ups in Pittsburgh.
Yes. So, it's a strange, strange world. Hey, we're out of time. That's going to do it for Sports Saturday here on this Saturday morning. You're listening to WSMI-FM, Litchfield Hills, Borough Carlinville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. For Tim Mize, I'm Terry Toad. Have a great sporting weekend. It is 10 o'clock and time now for news.